This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
And now, here are the guys. It's Tim Mize and Terry Tote.
Tobinat, thank you so much, and welcome to WSMI Sports Saturday. And I feel like I've been liberated, Terry.
Why do you feel liberated, Tim?
Because I haven't heard a political ad in a number of days, consecutively. They call it a streak.
Yeah.
We got a good streak here of no political ads.
Very nice. Just wait about perhaps 18 months for the midterms and then another four, you know.
So we probably got about 6 months of political free advertisement, give or take.
Perhaps.
Like the political polls, plus or minus two
plus
months.
A question for you.
Yes.
When they do these polls.
Right.
A question for you. Why, and they have the, within the margin of error, you know, like 2.4%, 3.4%. Who determines the margin of error?
The company doing the poll.
Yeah, but how?
How do they determine?
Is
it just a made up number is basically what you're getting?
Yeah, I think they're blowing smoke.
Like if it's, right, if it said plus or minus 5.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How can they determine a margin of error?
I guess it's scientific, like the poll itself, but
that's a bunch of crap.
I agree with
what you're saying. That's a bunch of crap. That's like saying the Cardinals scored 9 runs within 3 runs. Either way.
Come on!
They
would have won the pennant, plus or minus a few runs in Game 7.
You know the big controversy coming up is the April election that determines our city officers. They have until Christmas Eve to submit their petitions to run for alderman or city council.
Yeah, I've heard about this.
Trying to get it changed.
Yeah, I get that. But you know what? Just turn it in before Christmas Eve.
If
you know you're
going
to do it now, don't wait till Christmas Eve. Just do it.
But by law, the city clerk's office, the city clerk has to stay in her office.
Oh, I got
office.
You. So it's more of a problem for the elected official.
Just put it this way. You're talking to a couple of guys that work every dang holiday, weekends, nights, multiple hours.
Yep.
You get no sympathy from me.
That's a good point. If you're looking for sympathy for getting time off,
not going to get it from me.
Small market radio people are not the place to go.
Not going to get it from me.
Wait a minute. What's a day off?
How many 16-hour days have we done, Tim?
A few.
Yeah,
but a few.
But we enjoy our job.
We enjoy it.
You know, I'm not complaining.
Enjoy.
I'm just stating. I'm just stating from a perspective. You get no sympathy for me.
Not all jobs have the same hours.
No, absolutely.
Not all jobs have the same hours. So,
and I wouldn't trade it for anything else.
Me either. So I always tell people, beats working for a living.
Absolutely. That's the best phrase you can always come up with. Beats working for a living. So
absolutely.
And you know, and let me just plug the radio station here. You know, a week or so ago, we got had our 60th anniversary, 62nd anniversary of being on the air. 62 years of radio service to Mid Illinois, and a big salute to Mr. Tally, to Hayward.
So, hats off. Yes. Absolutely. Man had a vision.
Tally
and
family,
a dream, and
you know, and they've kept it going.
Absolutely.
And you know, it's been difficult times. Nobody's been fired. Nobody's been laid off. We've all had our jobs. We keep going. We keep plugging along. We keep trying to serve Mid-Illinois, both through, advertising and programming and music and even Sports Saturday.
That's right. And somebody who maybe is going to have a little challenge keeping their job in a bit might be Tim Beckman, the Illini football coach. And he's not going to lose his job because it's his first year.
No,
but
no.
They stink. They have 2 wins. And John Gross, the Illini basketball coach, is now halfway to that total. Oh, by the way, they played their first game last night and smoked Colgate 75-55. So the Illini basketball team now has 1 win and 1 chance. The Illini football team, 2 wins and a slightly more chances.
How many times this year have we already heard, was Zook that bad?
Right. A lot more than they wanted to hear. Absolutely. So we'll have the Illini football team coming up today, hosting Minnesota Live at 2 here on FM 106. And, of course, last night the basketball season kicked off with a win for the Illini. And we've talked about it before, Terry. To me, Illinois has always been and always will be a basketball school. Football's where it's at these days with the money and the boosters and all that. And that's fine. I like football. But the University of Illinois is a basketball school.
Well, ever since Lou Henson took over there in the 70s. Illinois was a basketball school. They, you know, their team was always amongst the elite in the conference and made some NCAA appearances, and it's a basketball school. It just is. And you know, I think in spite of the fact football fans will be extremely disappointed, basketball fans will be devastated if the basketball team falls flat on its face.
No question.
And I don't think it's going to happen. I was watching, flipping around the dial last night, watching various college games, Tim. Oh, my God, they're, you know, we will see so much better basketball in a span of 4 weeks.
It's early.
Yeah, it is very, very early. Very, very early. Even for the high-quality teams.
Well, I'm a huge Duke guy. They looked awful.
Oh, they were awful.
Terrible.
Michigan State, awful.
Kentucky almost lost to Maryland. Kentucky looked – they couldn't rebound.
Yeah.
Saved their souls last night. So, yeah, college basketball season, obviously, very early. Mm-hmm. The improvements are there, but
– And that's why they play these games, a lot of them, early on. To get their feet wet, so to speak, and get ready for the conference games beginning in late December. So.
That's right. Big game Tuesday, Duke-Kentucky.
Yeah.
Yes. Duke-Kentucky Tuesday.
Yeah. But really, it's a big game, but it's not, because it will have no bearing whatsoever on seedings. Both teams will be a number one seed in the NCAA.
Yes. No, and that's – well, I hope Duke's the number one seed. But they're both going to be in the tournament.
Sure.
No question about it. But those are the two greatest programs historically.
Sure.
Basically, two of the top four in the nation. So that'll be a big time match. But back to the Illini. Put it this way for you. Illini football finishes middle to bottom of the Big Ten.
Right.
You as an Illini follower say, seems about right.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, we expected
Illini,
it.
Right. Illini basketball, kind of like last year, finishes middle to bottom of the pack.
Disappointing.
Not okay.
Huge disappointment.
Right.
And huge disappointment.
To me, that's the difference.
The thing that we have to remember about the basketball team, and if you're a basketball fan, is it takes a while for a new system to get put into place. And the thing you like, and John Groves came from a mid-major, and he came from Ohio, and they made to the Sweet 16 last year, and they did a good job. But those were his athletes. And now he's got to convert the Illini athletes to his style. And that, the conversion will take some time.
It will, but I like what you said, the Illini athletes. They have the athletes. So he's got the athletes to play the athletic style. It's not like he's coming into a situation with no athletes and he's going to try to get them out of their norm and force them to run. To me, the last few years, they were held back. They were playing a slower style under Bruce Weber that did not accentuate all of their talents. I expect Brandon Paul, DJ Richardson, these types of guys to just thrive under this system.
These guys are gazelles.
That's what they do.
you cut them loose.
They played in high school up and down the floor. That's the way the game of basketball is played now. It's a fast-paced game. And that doesn't mean that defense doesn't matter, because it does.
It does.
You pressure the ball full court style, nonstop, create turnovers, get easy buckets. Don't get bogged down in half-court sets, whether it's offense or defense. Force the issue. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what Illinois is going to do under John Gross, that they didn't do the last number of years.
And another thing I think Illinois had problems with from time to time, and there were games that they looked great on defense last year, and then there were times that they'd let the number one come all the way up to the top of the key and allow them to set up the play. You know, you got to meet that guy at midcourt. You got to shut down the offense at midcourt. You can't let them get into the opposing team gets into their offense. You got to shut them down. You can't let them be comfortable. And I think the Illini last year allowed teams to become very comfortable.
No, I completely agree. And on the other side of that, a lot of times the Illini were put in uncomfortable situations when they had the ball. How many times were they stuck out near midcourt? All of a sudden, there's 12 seconds on the shot clock, and then they're forcing something.
Yes.
So, yeah, that, you're exactly right. It works both ways.
It does. And I think the thing with the Illini basketball team is it's going to take a while for the transition to kick in. And I'll tell you what, there'll be some frustrating times, and even in conference play, there'll be some frustrating times. But I'm telling you, by the time February gets here, this team should be clicking, I would think. I think everything should be in place. Everybody should be familiar with how it's going. And, you know, if they can avoid injuries and such, it may be a pretty strong team down the stretch here.
I agree. Maybe that's probably – well, it is my opinion. It can be no one else's opinion, because it's from my mind and it's coming out of my mouth. But I think you expect – the Illini to compete every single game in the Big Ten basketball season. Indiana's number one this year. I expect the Illini to compete. Do I expect them to win? No. But I expect them to play with the best college basketball team in the land. Do I expect the Illini football team to compete with the best college football team? I do not.
No.
I do not.
No.
So, you know, I care about Illini football because I like sports and I like the University of Illinois. I have no expectations for them.
Yeah.
Like, could they win today? Sure, they could win. But how a reasonable person could say that they're going to win is beyond me. Because how have you seen it? Where, you know, what logical points are you using in your head to say, oh, no, the Illini are going to win today against Minnesota. I don't see it. But if you have to come up with logical points why the Illini basketball team is going to win, that's a much easier case to make.
I don't get a chance to watch a whole lot of the Illini football.
You're not missing much.
But what I have seen this year is pretty much what I saw last year. There really is no difference. They just don't execute.
Right. There's only one difference between last year's football team and this year's football team. You know what it is?
What is it?
Last year, Ron Zook didn't break out the chewing tobacco on the sideline. That's the only difference. Other than that, they're exactly the same. No difference. Get out that chaw.
Little chaw, huh?
Ding.
That reminds me of the scene from the movie The Sandlot when they visited the little park there with the rides.
That's a classic movie.
Oh, that's classic. That's one of my all-time faves, if not my fave.
That was on the other day. I totally forgot how funny that movie actually
Oh, it's hilarious.
Was. Oh, my word.
It's hilarious.
Has its place. We need a break
being
here.
Being thrown around in the tilt-a-whirl and watch out.
Oh, goodness gracious. We got to step aside here momentarily on Sports Saturday. We'll be back with more after this.
If you're a farmer or an agribusiness, it's good to bank with people you know and trust. Hi, I'm Jim Miller, Vice President and Senior Loan Officer at Security National Bank. I specialize in ag lending, and Security National Bank's ag lending staff is experienced and ready to serve all your farming needs. We offer competitive rates. Stop by and see us today or log on to securitynb.com to find out more. Security National Bank, your hometown bank you can trust since 1932, with 4 locations to serve you in Witt, Coffeen, Irving, and Fillmore. Member FDIC, Equal Housing. Housing lender.
Kurt's 24-hour heavy and light-duty towing and machine shop now has a heavy-duty tow truck and can tow your semis. They have a crew cab rollback to transport your car and your family, and they can pick up your motorcycle. There is nothing they can't tow. When you need a tow, remember Kurt's 24-hour towing and machine shop in Litchfield. 324-2400. That's 324-2400.
And at 9:16, let's take a look at the weather forecast brought to you by Paris Frozen Foods in Hillsboro. It's the home of the Big Porky. Partly cloudy skies for today. It will be windy and warmer. Expect a high of around 70. Becoming cloudy for tonight. We'll have a low of around 50. Heading into Veterans Day, cloudy and windy. There's a chance for some rain. Expect highs in the upper 60s. Right now at 9:17, we have a temperature reading of 62 degrees. Sports Saturday and our weather forecast, is brought to you by Paris Frozen Foods in Hillsboro. It's the home of the Big Porky. Sports Saturday continues right after this.
Is your home moving without you? You don't need a realtor. You need the foundation repair experts at Midwest Basement Technologies. Serving Central Illinois for over 30 years, correcting bowed or cracked walls, settlement problems, or wet and leaky basements and crawl spaces. If you live in Central or Southern Illinois, they service you. Call 1-800-848-9805 for your local service tech, or visit them on the web at MidwestBasementTech.com. For money saving coupons, that's MidwestBasementTech.com. Remember, foundation problems won't go away. Protect your investment.
Farming doesn't follow an 8-to-5 schedule. A slow week is 60 to 80 hours. My land, livestock, and family rely on me. That's why I bought farm insurance from Auto Owners Insurance, because every policy comes with a local agent, a real person who lives right in my community, who I can rely on to keep my farm covered no matter what.
See the Bruce Webb Insurance Agency in Farmersville or Raymond.
And at 9:18, Sports Saturday continues. Once again, here's Tim Mize and Terry Tote.
Tobinot, thank you so much. And a week ago, we sat here getting set for the second round of the high school football playoffs, and Carl DeBar and I were getting set to head up, or over, I guess, as it is, to Casey.
Just heading to Casey.
We went to Casey. Yeah, yeah. We got there eventually.
Yeah.
Not a bad trip, really.
Oh, no, it's not. It really is.
From the radio station.
It's not.
Not that far.
No, it's not.
Really.
It's a pretty easy trip.
Yeah.
Good facilities, nice people. Oh, they do a terrific job of hosting things.
Great venue to watch a high school football game. And it just so happened that last week I saw the greatest high school football game that I personally have ever seen.
Yeah.
As Casey got Carlinville 50-49 in overtime as they got a 2-point conversion to win the game. But Terry, we cover a lot of high school sports, and to me, that game last week epitomized everything great about high school sports.
Yeah.
There was a well-played game, There was no cheapness. There was great sportsmanship, not just from the players opposing each other. The fans were good. The coaches were good. Everything about that game at the high school level was just fantastic, and you could just feel it coming. You know that somebody has to win and somebody has to lose, and it just had the feeling about midway through the second half that whoever had the ball last was going to win.
And I find it interesting, you made a comment there about halfway through the fourth quarter about possibly going for a two-point conversion for the Cavaliers, and if that would, you know, come into play. And not to second guess, I don't mean to do that, but it's just funny how things pop into your mind, and then all of a sudden there's the situation in overtime, and Casey Westfield decides now, after originally thinking about going for the extra point conversion to tie it up on the kick, and then all of a sudden they decide to go for two. But yeah, a great game. 99 points and back and forth. And there were a couple of times that Carlinville was down, and they were, you know, a down away from being out of the game totally. And boy, Brendan Stewart and Corey Fernetti and these guys, just what awesome. Yeah. And I don't know where they stack up, Tim, in the history of Cavalier football. But as a dynamic duo, they probably, if they are not the top, they probably have to be near the top.
You're exactly right. As a 1-2 punch goes, oh, I don't know who they've had that's better.
I don't either.
It was funny, Terry, before the game, we were talking to the KZ Westfield radio station, and the gentleman
WKZI
made the comment that no one runs on KZ.
Oh, really?
He says, no one runs on KZ. Until we get to the state title game. That's what he told me. Mm-hmm. Until we get to the state title game, no one runs on Casey. Like, just a matter of fact.
Yeah.
And, you know, who am I going to disagree? I was out there 2 years ago when Carlinville didn't run on Casey. So I have no reason to believe that it's not true, and it probably is true, because their numbers over the course of the regular season showed that you didn't run on them and you didn't score on them. Now, after watching the game, I questioned the strength of their schedule overall and the quality of their opponent, but that's really neither here nor there. He said, I want to see somebody run on Casey. Well, they saw it.
Yeah.
And you could hear them on the other end of the press box. Who is this Brendan Stewart? Yeah. Who is this guy?
Yeah.
I mean, he made a name for himself last week in the playoffs. If people didn't know about him, they know about him now.
Yeah.
It was an unbelievable performance, and not just from Stewart and Farnetti, but the offensive line. They controlled that game from the opening kickoff, really, and it came down to Casey had the ball last.
Yeah.
And you mentioned how I said Carlinville maybe should go for two. It's funny, you know this. You've been doing sports broadcasting a lot longer than I have. When you're doing play-by-play, you say a lot of things.
Yeah.
A lot of things pop into your head. Sometimes they end up sounding really smart. Sometimes they end up not sounding very smart at all. It's just that's just the nature of the beast. Sure. That's what I like about doing play-by-play sports broadcasting. But my thought on that was,
put a little pressure on Casey.
Get ahead to where a stop wins you the game.
Right.
But as it worked out, when they scored the touchdown, if they went for two and got it, Casey still drove down there at the end of regulation and was actually in a position where they could have kicked the field goal. So if they would have been down by a point, Casey probably would have kicked a short field goal. So
the point was moot.
The point was absolutely moot. But it was, give Casey credit for having the guts to go for that. And I pointed out before that play, at Carmi White County, just a number of years ago, it was the exact same situation. Up by one on the road in overtime of the second round. That day they stopped them. Last week they did not.
And it's funny how, you know, and I was back here producing the broadcast on the Ox, and as things are going, the same thing popped into my mind. I'm going, oh, you know, gosh, if they could just get a stop or maybe pick up a field goal and get a stop. But, you know, what a great game. That was probably as exciting as anything we've had on the radio as far as football is concerned.
Best game I've ever seen or done.
It was terrific.
That's the beauty of sports. But at the end of regulation, you know, it's looking like, are they going to lose like this on a last-second field goal? It's really going to go like that. And then Casey throws.
Yeah.
Inexplicably gets picked. And I swear to you, I think it was TJ Gray who got the pick. There was a slight moment where he caught it and just stopped for like the snap of a finger. I think it was just the realization, I just picked that off.
Yeah.
But it was that he almost ran that back 103 yards for what would have been the game-winning touchdown. So, I mean, that's how close Carlinville was. And that two-point conversion was almost tipped. I mean, they were millimeters away from springing an upset a week ago. But I thought that was a program-defining moment for Carlinville. Even though they didn't win, they've kind of had the track record lately of having a hard time in the playoffs against some of the top level competition. Not last week.
No.
You know, they proved that their numbers as a program, they stack up. They're there. You know, you're talking about one of the most winningest of football programs in the state, but they go over to Casey, and I got the, and maybe I'm wrong, but I got the distinct impression just from the vibe that Casey Westfield didn't really, I don't know if respect's the right word, they weren't buying what Carlinville was selling. You know, they looked on paper. Yeah. They saw the big numbers for Brendan Stewart. They saw the big numbers for Corey Farnetti. And like the gentleman told me before the game, no one runs on Casey. Well, guess what? Someone ran.
Didn't they have a new head coach, Casey,
first year guy?
Yeah. So maybe there was a little bit of something that got overlooked. You never know.
But it's human nature, though. It's human nature. 2 years ago, Carlinville went up there and got smacked.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of the same kids. So it's just it's human nature.
Yeah.
But you
never take anybody for granted.
You don't, but you got the feeling, or at least I got the feeling, that there was a little bit of disrespect, for lack of a better word, towards Carlinville. And about midway through the first quarter, when Brendan Stewart ran somebody over, I think that thought quickly left.
The light bulb went out.
The light bulb, it got busted out in a big way. But hats off to the Carlinville Cavaliers. Yeah. That just a great football team, a great football season, and it just begs the question, as a senior, is it better to get waxed in your last game or lose like that? Because, I mean, that you cannot have a more heartbreaking, crushing loss than that.
And to be honest with you, Tim, there's no answer to that.
There isn't.
Because you'd have to experience both endings,
right?
And you can't. So it's an irrelevant question. It's a question that has no logical explanation to it. So it just happened that way, and 25 years from now, you're still going to talk about one of the greatest games probably ever played.
And that's it right there. 25 years from now, it won't matter one bit that Carlinville lost.
No.
You know, that was a game for the ages. Yes. Everybody who saw that game, who played in that game, who coached or officiated in that game, is going to remember that for the rest of their lives. Brendan Stewart and company, they'll be talking about that game at their 20th reunion. Maybe, who knows? In 30 years, they might not even have class
reunions.
Tim,
I can remember back in the late 70s when Carlinville finished second in the state, and they had a game at Beardstown. I think it was in semis at Beardstown that day, and they went into overtime, and Tony Jenkins scored the game winner, and that was one of those wild games. It wasn't where they scored a lot, but it was a tight ball game, a big, big crowd, and I think the Cavaliers, if memory serves me right, got an extra. There was a penalty called on the last play that could have shut down the game, and they went for it and they got it, and it was, you know, just up to that point, that was probably the most exciting Cavalier experience I can remember. But that game last week certainly has to be right up there with that particular game. So wow,
good stuff.
Yeah, oh, good stuff. Good, and that's why we do what we do. I mean, we enjoy being part of that whole scenario and bringing these games to you. And you know, it's a point of pride for the town, for the school, and like I said, 25 years from now, at a class reunion, they're going to be talking about that ball game. They're going to be able to pick apart almost every single play of that ball game.
And it was a situation you think, oh my goodness, they gave up 50 points, the defense must have been bad. No, that was just offenses making plays time after time. And Casey Westfield, they got speed and they got playmakers, and they made Carlinville made plays, Casey made plays. What it came down to, Casey Westfield won the coin toss.
There you go.
And the way the overtime works for high school and college, when both teams get it, you win the coin toss. You want to go on defense first because you know exactly what type of score you have to have.
That's right.
So they won the coin toss. They
bottom,
won the game.
Bottom of the ninth.
That's exactly right. The walk-off. So once again, one team left in the South Central.
Yeah.
It's Greenville.
It's a Comets.
Huh. That's weird.
No, it's not.
Huh. No, you're right.
It's really not that weird.
It's normal with the universe. As last week, the Comets smoked Vienna Gorville 42-2.
Yeah. And we talked to Hutch a little bit last week, and I hope we are able to catch up to him today.
They're on the road to Carterville. So if we can make contact, we will.
But, I think he pointed out that once they got by that Carlinville loss, they sort of reassessed things, and we knew it was going to be, whether it was this year or next year, and they had a lot of youngsters, but we knew that Greenville was definitely going to be a good football team, and obviously it's come together sooner than later. Carterville's one of those deep South teams.
Ooh, tough.
Very tough place to go, very tough place to win, but not impossible. Nope. And, boy, you like Greenville's chances. You like Greenville's options. You like their weapons. You just like their mindset. And, you know, they've been down this path before. And maybe this team's a little different, Tim, because there are no expectations.
Well, that was my thought, Terry, and I was going to say you could speak to this better than I because you've seen a lot more high school sports than I have. But when you have a run of success like the Comets mm-hmm. had, and year after year when Brady Huber was the quarterback, there was more expectations this year than the last year, and so on it went. This year they came in, no expectations. Yeah. Obviously, no one is going to stand here and make the case that this year's Greenville Comets team is better than any of the Comets teams that they've put on the field the last 4 years. But that does not mean that they won't advance further in the playoffs. And to obviously advance further, they have to get to the state championship game. Would I be surprised if this is the year the Greenville Comets got to the state championship? I would not, because as you can make a case for, Kerry, that's the way sports works.
Yeah, yeah.
The best team that you have in a four-year period doesn't always advance the furthest.
Absolutely. We've seen state championship teams in various sports from around the area schools, and that's not necessarily their best overall team, man for man or person for person.
The Nokomis Redskins in boys basketball are probably a perfect example of that. The first year of the four-class system, they got up to the state title game. They were a quarter away from being state champions.
Yeah.
And they finished second. The trophy's there forever. Yeah. No one will ever take it away. But I think people who follow Nokomis basketball will tell you, that's not anywhere close to the best team the Redskins have had in the last 10 to 15 years.
Oh, you can go back further than that. I mean, you can go back to mid-70s.
Absolutely. But I was trying to keep it more in a recent time frame. But, you could.
It's just, time and time and time again. And so many times we talk about the draw. You've had the Painas, the Shelbyvilles that were in the same regionals. Shelbyville was the number one ranked team in the state, and a shot at the buzzer spun out on Nokomis' home floor in the regional that year that Shelbyville won the state tournament. You don't think those guys were, you're right. There are just a lot of teams. And that's why it's not really fair to say, is this the best team ever?
Right.
Because there are so many different factors that go into it. And humans, unfortunately, are not good judges of things like that.
No, you're right.
As you're finding out, Tim, a little bit older, your perspective always changes.
Right.
Every year, the older you get, your perspective changes, and you have to refocus things in. And did I really see what I thought I saw? I people ask me all the time, what are some of the best teams you ever? Well, I can name you some of the best teams I've ever seen, but they may not have actually won state championships.
Right.
Am I accurate in what I recollect? That makes it very, very difficult. And I like to tell people, hey, it's just fun, enjoy it. No matter what happens, whether they go to the state tournament, whether they have a season where they end up losing in the regional, whatever, this is a part of education. That's the great thing about high school sports in the United States. It's a part of the educational system. It's not a club team like they do in Europe. And there's nothing wrong with club teams. It gives kids a lot of time to participate in sports they love when the interscholastic season is not in play. But, I like the aspect of the educational aspect,
mm-hmm.
And teaching life lessons. It's a very, very – it's not all about absolutely winning every game. It's about you got to keep grades up. There are some caveats that you have to use, some things you have to do in order to participate.
And when you talk to Todd Hutchinson during the football season or baseball season, you get that message from him.
Sure.
Nobody wants to win more than that guy.
Yeah.
But he also understands, like all of our area coaches, they're teaching life lessons.
Absolutely.
That's the ultimate goal. You try to win while also teaching.
We want to make good citizens. That's the bottom line.
Exactly
we want to make good citizens that are going to raise families and pay their taxes and be a contributor to society and hopefully give back to the society that they grew up in. I mean, giving back as a volunteer somewhere or somehow is always an important part of being an American.
Absolutely. The 1993 state champion Staunton Bulldogs.
Oh, gosh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Great basketball team.
Mm-hmm.
Were they the best team in the state? Were they the best team in the state?
See, what you have to remember, the state tournament is a tournament.
I understand, but were they the best team in the state?
Well, I don't know. To me, they were.
They won the state. They won the state tournament.
Yeah.
But were they the – were they? The, I guess I shouldn't – they were the best team in the state. Let me put it to you this way. Were they the most talented team in the state?
Probably not.
Probably not. How many of those guys went on to play basketball after that night?
Probably not many.
Exactly. So it goes to the point of –
but how many of these guys are contributing as educators, coaches?
Right there.
You know, various various aspects of business that they contribute
yep,
back.
And, exactly.
You know, and we see it at all schools.
We absolutely do. But yeah, those guys are a good example sure, because they won the whole thing from a small school.
Sure.
Nobody went on to play big-time college ball. Obviously, no one went on to make a living out of playing sports. But now here they are, what, almost 20 years later, you know, grown men, families, careers, helping people. That's kind of the, you know, that's the full circle of the high school, like the best case scenario for a high school athlete. That's it right there.
And I tell you what, there's it, and I know we've talked with Coach Moore already that they're going to have a reunion coming up, I think the last Saturday night of January, and honoring the 93 team. And that's a game we're going to have on the radio, and I get to be part of it, and it's very exciting for me to even think about being there together with those guys again, because they were. You know, I've said this 1,000 times, and I will go to my grave thinking this. That's the last true Cinderella team in the state of Illinois to win a state basketball championship. Honest to God. Under the current setup with the four-class system, I don't think you'll have that. But back then, Staunton was playing extremely well. We knew they'd played well all year long. We knew their path was favorable that year. And all they had to do was get there and get it, have a chance.
Right.
And that's all you wanted, to have a chance. You know, Maury Huff talked about it with Nokomis Girls. Give us that chance. If we get there, we're going to try to make the most of it. You know, that's what it's about. Survive in advance. Survive in advance. You know, Teak learned about this at Hillsborough with the girls there. And you know, we talked the Nokomis Braves baseball team this year and the lady, the Panther Cup girls. And, you know, we've seen the Southwestern girls. You know, it's survive in advance.
And that might be, you just brought up the Hillsborough girls there. That might be the best example locally of a team. They won as juniors with Hope Schulte, and then as seniors got knocked off. Was that team the following year defending their state championship better, more talented than the team that won? Because Nokomis won it both years. They were there, so that's not really a fair comparison. Carrollton won it both years they were there. But for Hillsborough, basically the same team, won it one year, lost the following year. There were extenuating circumstances. A lot of them were sick as dogs in the game that they lost. And, you know, that's just a fact. It's not an excuse. It's just one of those pesky facts that sometimes get in the way of an opinion. But that team was better, were they not? Even though they didn't win, weren't they better?
Well, there was one aspect, and people have asked me about this every once in a while. And I said, well, there's one person that I thought made an impact on the team when they were juniors, and that was senior Mallory Zimmerman, who used to come in off the bench and sit in the corner and pop those three-pointers. And Mallory had graduated. That was a weapon they did not have off the bench. So it gave a little bit different look. I'm not saying that was the cause, but I'm just saying, you know, every year is not the same. Even if you have the same personnel, you don't always have the same type of year. Major leaguers face this. Professional athletes face this. It was just a different look. And
I think the point you bring up, Terry, is the difference between talent and chemistry.
Yeah.
You know, I'll take the team. The Cardinals baseball team has been a good example of this the last few years. I'll take a less talented team with great chemistry over a dysfunctional, talented team. I don't care what the sport is. You give me the chemistry, I'll take my chances with that. And I just wonder if that's something that this is how the whole conversation started with the Greenville Comets. But after that loss to Carthenville, if maybe all the guys in the locker room, instead of pushing apart, they pulled together as a unit, and now we're seeing what's happening.
Many, many years ago, Coach Lofka.
I'm familiar with him.
You know Jim. And by the way, one of the greatest shows we ever had is when we had him and Don DeBrino in here a couple summers ago. That was probably one of my favorite shows we've ever done on Saturday morning. Just having those two guys was quite an honor. But I remember Jim talking to me about athletes and everything, and he made the point, give me the smart athlete. Give me the athlete I can teach. May not be the best athlete, but he likes athletes that have the ability to think and to process things and to learn things. And I think that's where your chemistry comes in, Tim. You may not always have the most elite athlete, but you've got people who think about what it takes to work together. And there's your team chemistry.
Right.
It's so, so important. And it's important in a radio station life. It's important working at the bank. It's important working at a grocery store. It's important in every aspect of life. It's important being family.
Right.
You know, your team, your chemistry. How do you respect people? How do you go about, you know, instructing kids to be good students and good athletes as a parent? How do you do that? Right. It's not easy.
It's not easy, and I can equate anything to Seinfeld. But to me, listen, okay. Anyone can talk about chemistry, okay? Anyone can say it, but it's hard to actually have it and do it. And there was a great Seinfeld episode where he needed a rental car, and he made a reservation, but then they didn't have his reservation. Well, they had the reservation, but they forgot to hold the car.
Oh, okay.
So they had the reservation, but gave the car away anyway. So he had the great line, anyone can take a reservation, but it's the holding of the reservation.
Okay.
Anyone can talk about chemistry. You can talk.
Sure.
The coach can talk about it until he's blue in the face.
Sure.
But it's up to the players, the individuals on the team. They have to pull together. They have to do it. You can't tell them to do it.
Well,
they just have to do it.
It's a situation where they come to the conclusion we've got each other's backs.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, that's probably the first best step. When you have everybody's backs, okay, that's cool. I can trust you. You can trust me because we're all in this together, and we all want to succeed. And then it's a process, and we talk about life lessons in sports. There's life lessons in a math class. There's life lessons in every endeavor of life. You know, I would like to think maybe I'm just a little bit smarter and a little bit better person having worked here for 30-plus years and being married to my wife for 30-plus years and having been a parent for all these years, and maybe my kids made me a better person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my wife made me a better person and my employee has made me a better person. You know, that's all it's all about. We want to improve as human beings and be better people and be able to pass along these things to the next generation. So.
And I just wonder this, after that Carmanville game for Greenville,
yeah.
We were there. It was at Greenville. It was ugly.
Yeah.
It was ugly.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
The natives were restless that night in Greenville. I mean, they hadn't seen this happen in a long, long time. There was a lot of...
I was actually producing that game as well.
I mean, there was a lot of long faces and just stunned disbelief as they filed out after getting beat down in their home field. They didn't know how to react. And I just wonder... That night, Tyler Hutchinson, he had a bad night.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sophomore kid, had a bad night. It happens.
Sure.
But I just wonder if the kids and the team heard the noise from the outside and said, you know what? This is our guy.
Yeah.
This is our guy.
Yeah.
He's good.
Yeah.
He's fine. You know, he's a young kid learning on the job. We're going to rally around him and become better for it.
Sure.
And look what happened.
Yeah.
They haven't lost since.
Yeah. Yeah.
Haven't really been challenged since.
That sort of stuff is easier to see in the world of sports.
Right.
Even Sandy Koufax had an off day once in a while. And Bob Gibson had an off day once in a while.
What?
Don Drysdale had an off day. And Fergie Jenkins had an off day. And
bums.
Yeah, you know. And you look at the 56-game hitting streak by Joe DiMaggio, and people say, well, he gets a hit every day. Well, no, they don't. People don't get hits every day because they just don't.
It's hard.
It's hard to do. And if it was easy, everybody could do it. It's not easy. That's why very few people can do it. But sports is so great, is a great mirror for life in many respects, and that's why we enjoy them. We all, as Americans, and I think as human beings, we like being part of a winner.
Yes, absolutely.
And that's why sports enthralls us. We like to root for the teams. You know, I've been a Cardinal fan for so many years now, and God, I can't imagine not rooting for the Cardinals.
It's just
unheard of.
Can't believe it.
Yeah, and they may have people that I don't think are very good ball players, but they're still the Cardinals. They're still my team. You know, and that's how it is. So.
You root for the logo on the front,
sure,
not the name on the back.
Yes, and the respect that's commanded by these teams, and you know the organization. You know, people. Gosh, some of the Cardinal teams in the 70s were awful. I mean, they were just nothing short of just plumb awful. Awful, awful, awful. And like most teams, they go through cycles.
Sure.
Cardinals are in probably an uptick cycle now with the ownership they have, and they realize how important it is to have good team chemistry, to have a good fan base, and to put a winning product on the field. They expect that. You know, if you want to draw 3.3 million fans every year, you better darn well win.
Right.
Miami has a problem. They had a brand new manager. They had a brand new ballpark. They had a new team name, and they sucked.
They changed everything except the quality of the product.
Except the quality of the product. And you know what? They'll struggle.
Yes.
They'll struggle. They'll struggle to draw a million people next year.
No, you're exactly right.
Know. You're
beyond
winning
right.
Solves it. Winning
everything.
Solves it.
Absolutely. Fixes everything.
It does.
Fixes absolutely everything.
And it's not so necessarily that you're going to win every year, because teams don't win every year. Cardinals didn't win this year. And, you know, they got into the playoffs. They won the first round. They
lost. Compete every year.
You got to compete. It's about competing. It's about being in the game. Are you going to make? Are you going to make it to the championship level?
Yeah, that's right, and that's why to me this year for Greenville is almost. It's already a success.
It's a magical year.
In some ways, it's more successful than the semifinal runs they've had the last few years. They're one game away from the state semifinals.
Oh, yeah.
After losing essentially everybody.
And we talk about expectations. And maybe there's an expectation pressure that goes along, especially with teenagers.
Right.
I mean, teenagers have so much to deal with the way it is now. And when you have expectations, a lot of times that's not a good thing.
Right. So. That's right, but it can be a good thing, though. And I think in Greenville's sense, I think the level of expectation they have is a good one. It's not of we're going to win because we're Greenville. It's we're Greenville and we're here to compete. Well, whatever happens, happens. But when they go down to Carterville today, some teams go down there. And they're down a touchdown when they get off the bus.
Absolutely.
The Comets will not be down a touchdown when they get off the bus. They've been here. They've done that.
There's always an expectation of success.
Yes.
Then you have to execute.
Exactly.
To get success.
That's right. Greenville expects to go down there. They expect to execute their game plan and win.
You know,
that's
and if they get beat by Carterville, as Carterville plays their type of game and plays their game plan, so be it.
So be it.
I've always thought in sports, the team that normally wins the championship always has an it factor. San Francisco, the Giants, had that, for whatever reason, had that it factor.
And that's a good point. I mean,
does Greenville have that it factor?
Well, I think the it factor in high school sports is harder to identify.
Different. It's different because, number one, you only have 9 weeks of the regular season. I mean, it's a limited season, where in Major League Baseball is a whole different animal when you play 162 games, and then you hope to play for another month.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Well, it's exactly a whole different animal.
I would say in this standpoint, Greenville does have that quote-unquote it factor, because it has that sense of kind of a magical ride.
Right.
It has that feeling. Now, that doesn't mean they're going to win today. Who knows what's going to happen? Carterville's a great program, a good team this year. They're 8-3, the sixth seed, great home field advantage. So who knows what will happen this afternoon in Carterville?
But isn't it great that you get a chance to compete?
You get a chance to compete. And I guarantee you, Carterville, when they realized that they were playing Greenville, they thought, uh-oh, because Greenville has a statewide reputation of greatness now.
Sure.
You know,
they're the number one seed.
They've been the number one seed for the last 5 or 6 years.
Yeah.
And they're making deep runs. They're consistently in the quarters, in the state semifinals. So while in this part of the state, we look and we say, oh, Carterville, the coin. Down in the Carterville of the coin, they think, oh, Greenville.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's just a matter of geography and where you live. But
mutual respect.
Mutual respect. Statewide, the Comets are known and feared. Known and feared. We need a break here on Sports Saturday. We're back with more right after this.
A sure sign of the holidays is the aroma of homemade pies and cookies baking. You'll need plenty of fresh, farmer-owned Prairie Farms butter for baking, plus fat-free half-and-half for creamy pumpkin pies, and lots of Prairie Farms whipped cream to top your desserts with. For dunking those holiday cookies, serve tall, refreshing glasses of Prairie Farms milk. And don't forget that 100% pure Prairie Farms orange juice for lots of vitamin C. Taste the homemade goodness of Prairie Farms.
Listen for Fighting Illini Basketball on the Tally Broadcasting Stations, brought to you by Roger Jennings, your Chevrolet Buick dealer in Hillsboro, Big Ed at Wernsing's Appliances and Video in beautiful downtown Litchfield and Carlinville, Newhouse Heating and Air Conditioning, your Lennox and Geo Comfort dealer in Litchfield, and by Quality Flooring in Gillespie. Quality you can stand on. For the Fighting Illini broadcast schedule, go to our website, WSMIRadio.com.
And at 9:48, let's take a look at the weather forecast brought to you by CarQuest in Carlinville and Jacksonville. You'll find it at CarQuest. Partly cloudy skies for today. It will be windy and warm. We'll have a high of around 70. Becoming cloudy for tonight. We expect lows of around 50 degrees. Heading into Veterans Day Sunday, cloudy and windy. There is a chance for some rain. Expect a high Sunday in the upper 60s. Right now at 9:48, we have a temperature reading of 64 degrees. And the weather forecast is brought to you by CarQuest in Carlinville and Jacksonville. You'll find it at CarQuest. Sports Saturday continues in just a moment.
Hi, I'm Jim Miller, Vice President, Senior Law Officer at Security National Bank. Farmers, it's time to get your finances in order, and we're ready to help you at Security National Bank, a small-town bank where we know your name with an established reputation in the area since 1932. We can help with all your ag lending needs. Stop by and see us today or log on to securitynb.com to find out more. Security National Bank, your hometown bank you can trust since 1932, with four locations to serve you in Witt, Coffeen, Irving, and Fillmore. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Since 1899, four generations of Huffs have been dedicated to serving families in Central Illinois. Today, they continue that tradition of compassion, personal attention, and professional service that started long ago. The Huff family has always tried to place the needs of their families first, to provide them the information to make wise decisions at such a delicate time in their life. Today, Dan and David Huff continue this family tradition. Huff Funeral Homes in Raymond, Farmersville, and Hillsboro, you do have a choice.
And at 9:50, Sports Saturday continues once again. Here's Tim Mize and Terry Tote.
Let's play some hoops.
Let's do it. It's ball season.
That forward, a 6'5". Oh, sorry. Wrong job.
That's right. They're all 5'10", right?
6'10".
Oh,
6'10".
6'10".
6'10". That's right. My bad.
Was that your first ever?
Yes. For the Toppers, yes. Yeah.
It happens.
That's all right,
well,
Tote.
Pisco was the tallest assistant coach ever.
He was happy with you then.
Yeah.
Believe it or not, we're going to have high school basketball on the radio Tuesday of this week, the 13th. Girls high school basketball kicks off.
And as I like to say, it's about time.
It's about time. And Terry, this has become the traditional opener for WSMI. Litchfield, Nokomis, should be another good one.
Well, I think so. And what makes it really cool is that it's two county teams. Two schools have had a lot of success. And more often than not, it's a terrific game to start off the season. And there was a span there a few years ago where we had like 3 or 4 years in a row and it was overtime. So I'm not saying it's going to necessarily be overtime, but certainly it's always a good way to tip off the season. And we've got several games in November this year. I tell you, I'm kind of excited about the basketball season. I think we're going to see... And basketball has been maligned the last couple of 3 years here, and I think unfairly in many ways. But I think we're going to see some fun basketball this year. Really am. So I think a lot of teams are going to be a little bit better because they are a little bit older, a little more mature, and we're going to see some good basketball.
The Litchfield girls basketball team is going to be interesting to watch to see how the changeover affects them or doesn't affect
them. Well, anytime you get a change at the top, and we're talking about girls that are on this team who have only known Bob Allen
as
their coach, junior high and everything. So there will be an adjustment. There's no question that there will be an adjustment. That's just going to be a fact of life for Litchfield this year.
Right. And you know, Rob Corso is going to come in, and he's taken over the
helm.
And
he was an assistant the last few years.
Absolutely.
So he's
there's
familiar.
Nothing new there. No. There's really, and it might be just a tweak here or there. But I fully anticipate this is going to be the Litchfield team that people are anticipating to be very good. And I think Nokomis is a team that gained a lot of experience last year, playing a lot of underclassmen. They're going to be a little bit better. I think Nokomis is still a team that doesn't have much size. But, you know, when you have guards...
You got a chance.
You got a shot. And I'm anxious to see how these two teams get out of the gate. I think in girls basketball, obviously Hillsboro, you have to think about them as being good. I think Carlinville is going to be a much improved team this year. They're going to be a lot of fun to watch. Southwestern, of course, always a good team. Jen Brooks taking over at Staunton. Anxious to see how Sophie Fairman and that program is going to go. You know, it's just North Max, obviously, you know, those guys are going to be, I think their boys and girls team is going to be loaded this year. Lincoln was going to be a much better basketball team this year. They're great athletes there at Nokomis. And Litchfield with Drew Logan and the boys program.
Yeah.
I think we're in for a fun year of basketball.
I really think we are. And I'm excited to see the girls South Central Conference this
year.
Oh, my goodness.
Is that going to be a race?
Oh.
You know, you always have to think Pena. You know,
obviously.
Pena,
there.
There. You start right there with Pena.
You start Pena on the east, and then, you know, if you're going to go west, you start Southwestern
you
there.
You got to start with
Pena, Southwestern, and then you work.
Work from down
there.
From there, yeah.
It would trickle down from there.
Well, I don't... Can Painter run the season, make a run through the season undefeated? I don't know.
I don't either.
But if anybody could, they should be the team that could.
Put it this way, I wouldn't bet on it, but it wouldn't surprise me.
Wouldn't surprise me, yeah. Terrific team, and I tell you what, they suffered a devastating injury near the end of last year, which really put a crimp in things, especially heading into postseason, but they're healthy now.
And they still made a run, even with that devastating injury. They still, pulled it up and
won a regional.
That's right.
So should be an interesting matchup, and really anxious to see the basketball season get underway. Of course, there are certain benchmarks, and we talk about this every year, the Christmas tournament being one benchmark, the in-season tournaments mid-January, which is the Macoupin County Tournament for county schools there, Litchfield Invitational Tournament for boys, Highland Tournament for girls, kind of the miniature state tournament for girls. We watch these certain benchmarks and see how teams are playing heading in towards the postseason, and before we know it, the postseason will be here.
Oh.
Basketball spread over 4 months, but it goes in a blink of an eye to me.
To me, too. We're sitting here today talking about the quarterfinals of the football playoffs, our first basketball broadcast coming up next week. Before we know it, it's going to be the middle of January, and we're going to have the county championship, we're going to have the Litchfield Invitational championship, and what happened?
Yeah.
Where did it go?
What happened? Where did it go? You know, and gosh, I don't know.
We're going to have a fun day coming up on November the 27th, the old girls-boys doubleheader.
Yeah, Carlinville and Gillespie have done this for several years where they play the JV games on the Monday night, girls and boys, and then they do varsity girls and boys on the Tuesday night.
That's neat.
And I like that idea. I personally like that idea. I'd like to see more of this happen. I'll be honest with you. I think it's a cool idea to expose the girls' teams to a varsity night
of
basketball.
Yes. It's the same premise that they do at the Carnival Holiday Tournament now, where they have the girls' championship followed by the boys' championship. So the premise is there, and you and I talked about this earlier this week, and I agree with you. It's a good idea. The only thing that I would say that I don't like it is the scrub in me, the bench player in me.
Yeah.
To where when you play the JV game before the varsity game, the fourth quarter of that JV game, you got a cool feel, cool vibe in the gym as the varsity crowd starts to come in. And I remember that distinctly as a JV player, to where you started to feel the energy
Sure.
of the building. So that's something that you would lose from the JV aspect of it, to where if you're having JV games back to back. But I suppose that's not enough of a reason. Because this is good stuff.
And you don't have to do it. And you don't have to do it every game,
right?
But just a few games during the season, I think it's a good idea.
It's a good concept. Yeah. I mean, it's a neat idea to have back to back varsity.
And here you have two South Central Conference teams going at it, rivals, and you know, Gillespie girls going to be decent again year. Carnival girls going to be decent. So right off the bat, you got a great matchup right off the bat, and then you got the boys teams coming up afterwards. So you should have a good house. You should have a good battle that night with basketball teams that are battling it out in the South Central Conference.
I don't say this to be disrespectful. I just say it because I feel it to be true. Maybe they should play the boys' game first.
I don't know.
I mean, if you're going in terms of the better game, you know, technically is always last, maybe the Carlinville Gillespie girls' game should be the main event.
Well, that's,
I don't know.
That's for somebody other than us to
decide.
That's
not our problem, not our decision. Yeah, but
we're going to be there that night for both.
Right, we're doing both. But just look at it like, boy, that girls' game, that's a good one.
That's a good game. And when you think about the conference races this year, in the South Central in particular, both boys and girls, could be an interesting race. You know, we're still dealing with adjusting to the Prairie State Conference with the realignment there. MSM Conference, don't really know much about what some of the other teams have, but we'll find out here early on, because most of these teams are involved in Thanksgiving tournaments and such. So here we are. It's time.
And the Thanksgiving tournament is something that has really exploded in the last, I don't know, five,
it used to be Christmas
years.
Tournaments and the mid-season tournament, but the Thanksgiving tournaments are great because you get a ton of games in a span of a week. So you really know right off the bat where your weaknesses are. Perhaps the one drawback is that you don't have a whole lot of time to make adjustments on the fly.
Right.
But you get to play.
But you do get to play, and then after the Thanksgiving tournaments, you usually have 7-10 days to get back to practice and to maybe work out some of the finer points. So, yeah, the Thanksgiving tournament, in a way, it's kind of like a preseason sort of deal. Even though it's not preseason, it's kind of a way to get your feet wet.
Sure.
You know, just get the ball started.
That's right.
Get rolling.
Yeah, Instead of playing two games in a span of a week or 10 days, you get to play five games in a span of a week, maybe four games in a span of a week. So you know, everybody gets to play because you're probably dealing with people who are not quite in shape yet.
Right.
So you got to have the bench. So, you know, a lot of people see a lot of playing time and you get to play ball.
That's right. So basketball season is upon us. We will have girls action Litchfield at Nokomis Tuesday night live at 7 here on WSMI FM 106.7 or
7:30. And on the internet.
At WSMIRadio.com. Helps you get the times right. So 7:30 for the girls game coming up on Tuesday night. The Illini football team, they will play Minnesota today at 2. We'll have live coverage right here on FM 106. Best of luck to the Greenville Comets. They are heading down to Carterville today in the 3A quarterfinals. So best of luck to the Comets in their quest for the champagne date the day after Thanksgiving. For Tobin, Terry, I'm Tim. Sports Saturday is done. This is WSMI FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carthenville, and Greenville, your 50,000-watt sports voice of Mid-Illinois.